Rita.
My name is Missy, and I was born in the County Westmeath in Mullingar. I'm one of 12. There were 6 boys and 6 girls. There's 3 of the boys dead, and there's 2 of the girls dead. And that does be very sad for me, because with me being the oldest girl, I nearly reared them, you know, in the hard times, we say, and that, and whatever. And we're talking about the cake bread. Some people call it the soda bread. We call it cake bread. Well, I was only 11 years of age when I had to bake cake bread, mix it in cake. I never forget, even we were stopping outside of Athlone, and my mother went in to have one of my brothers at the time, which killed. And my father told me what to do. My daddy was kind of, he was in the army for a while, and he was a good cook, you know, that. But he wouldn't. And this man and woman came along that we knew to be cousins of my mammy's. I said, Mick, who baked the cake bread if Dolly's in the hospital? Dolly, my mammy was Bridget, but she got Dolly. And he says, Missy, dear. Well, fair play to her, he said. You know, or whatever. So, at a very young age, I had to do that, and I had to put down spuds and cabbages, we say, and other bits and bobs, make the bottles for the children, make the goody. One of me, at that time, there wasn't much...
For baby food, like.
Baby food. Mm. So, there'd be a lot of children that... You'd boil the white bread and you'd strain the water off and you'd get a fork and you'd blend it up and you'd blend it up and you'd blend it up and then you'd put the milk in. So that was that bottle. That was a bottle of goody. And that fed that child. It fed him. I had a brother completely, my brother Oliver, he was completely let down on it. He used to love to get his bottle and that and the rest of them. But we didn't have all these grander things what they have today. You know, you ate what you got. You didn't say, I'm not eating it, because you'll be damn glad to get near it and that. So it was really and truthfully, it was the farmers that fed us. We would have been lost only for the farmers. You know, my brothers would have helped out in paying back that way. But they'd give us the fresh vegetables and the spuds and the bacon and stuff like that. So I was very used to doing them sort of things. Hand washing the clothes. You had no other choice. And then a scrubbing board came out. And of course, they got me one of them as well and that. But I used to scrub the clothes, the clothes and whatever. And you throw them out in the ditch, out in the bushes to dry, because you wouldn't have no dryer. You wouldn't be able to. So you had to do what you had. But also, it wasn't just us, the farmers had to do it, because they didn't have them and the other people, you know, as well and that.
The farmers didn't have money either, did they?
No,
nobody had money then.
No, there was no such thing as money. And as I said, my mother and father were very good people. My grandparents were very good. Now, my mummy's father, he was an old horse dealer, and he loved the piebalds, and he'd go on to the fairs, and my granny said, don't get rid of my quiet pony on me, and whatever like that, but he would. And he'd send up here to Dublin. He'd send up to Dublin for the swag. We call it a swag, like butter dishes, mugs, all sorts of stuff that you could sell, blessed pictures and everything. But to come back down to the station, to a particular station in the country, and the boxes be that high. And I had very long hair at the time, and it's a plaits. And I said, grandfather, send for the slides for me. the slides, and yeah. It's in for slides, and I wouldn't wait till the boxes be, I'd be around the box, and the box would be that colour, and he'd get me the slides, he would get and the other granddaughters and whatever as well, and combs for your hair, and all things like, you know, that you could, that. And he'd go around to the farmer house and selling them. But the people had that much trust in him that he could have a big square basket with that stuff in it. And he could have laid that on top of the table if that woman was three sheds down outside. And he'd be shouting, Mrs. So-and-so. And she'd come in, oh, you're here, John. John, what have you today? Well, I remember that in my child. I was very much with him a lot now, you know.
With your grandparents?
Yeah, I would, especially them two grandparents. I always loved the other ones as well. They were our, we used to call them happy-go-lucky. You know what, they wouldn't have any pie balls, they have an ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that. But they were so nice. But in the line of going through the country, County Westmeath, County Longford, and whatever, and that. We'd ain't too little.
No, it's lovely. Your story is lovely.
And he'd do all that. So my experience would be from 7 or 6 year old I went with him.
Your granddad?
Yeah, with my granny and my grandfather. Both stayed pins. My daddy's people, they were near the County Longford and Leitrim around here and that.
Uh-huh.
But they wouldn't travel as far as the other travel. When we went, they go into Athlone. My mummy and daddy was married in Athlone. And they go into Athlone and then they go over the bridge and they go out to the Connor side. You know? Roscommon and that. So they do all that. They go venture out there in the summertime of the year. And he'd get her feathers and horse hair as well, my father would, along with her brother-in-law piece and that. So it was different places for different things. You know, you knew the county that was the best for tinsmithing. You knew the county was the best for whatever. But I always remember one thing. With my parents and with my grandfathers and grannies, my father told me, he said, Missy, he said, if you have respect for people, he says, then them people, he says, should have respect for you. And I always remember that. And I never forget that in words. And I was married when he said that to me. And that. But when I think back of my childhood, we weren't allowed to, if we wanted wood for the fire, we had to go out in the field, far out in the field, and get them sticks. We used to call them sticks. So they were sticks, the whole thing. If we want to draw on clean water, we say spring water, we'd have to trust in the house or where there'd be a well and that. But we weren't allowed to mess around them. Do you know what I mean? Throw any rubbish now or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, my father would always look after it. It was a little well in the county with Smead, and I went down to see it a couple of times I came back. And he'd clean away the grass that was growing around, long around, things like that.
Yeah.
And that farmer's house beside that, that woman used to draw water from that well. Two big horse buckets, we used to call them.
Yeah.
And my daddy would get, take up to Mrs. Lyman and get the bucket off her and carry the water in. But we were always welcome there. Yeah, we were always welcome there. Then my brothers would help out with the hay or the picking of the spuds or things like that, whatever.
So there was real trust.
There was trust. But I have to say that my father used to have get the keys at the hotels. I mean, he used to stay in Chimneys. And to tell them in the hotel where they'd laid the keys for, and to get there very early in the morning. And, or a big gentleman's house. You know a big gentleman's house?
Mm-hmm.
They loved going into it. He used to come out and all the little dogs, he'd be running around him. And he'd have a suhan, and he'd shake in the pocket, and when he'd take it out, he'd give you 2 shillings or whatever. The gentleman's house, we used to call it. We used to stop not far from it, and that. That again was in the county Westmeath, and that. So we learned it was in point of our heads not to touch anything in your own. You'll get enough off the people by asking or doing something in return for them and that. So my father do that. He'd be gone in the morning and he'd go on a bike. He had horses, but he'd be gone in the morning in the bike very early. And he didn't always come back, be a drapery shop. And he'd bring back little wellhens, red for the girls and black for the little boys, and little plaid shirts and corduroy trousers. And he'd get his money to do that. He was a great man and that. But the memories I have, and honest to God, I'm getting lonesome now by even telling them, I think. But my children never experienced that. They don't, because they never travelled. And to me, they missed out in life. They missed out in life for things that we've done. And as I said, when my father and mother go, if they went to the town, might go to Athlone or they might go into Count Lamford town or something. And I'd know what to make the tea from and to share around the bread to be there or put down spuds. We wouldn't go hungry. Like, you know. And that. But the children today, they won't hardly eat that sort of food. They want chips or they want something else. You know what I mean? We didn't know what chips was at that time. And they were only a spoon, but we didn't still know what they were. And that. And I used to go in to the farmers and they'd know you like. But the woman could be churning for the butter and the buttermilk. And I said, I was doing a few houses. Mrs. Urea must be tired now. Let me have a go. And I'd have a go at churning, because I'd be waiting for me pound of butter, wouldn't I? And me buttermilk. And that. And she said, I know. And here you are. And just take it nice and slowly. You get that big tall one, or you get the shot. I used to love the little shot one with the hand. And I'd say, my brother would say to me, he'd be outside maybe with a pony and car waiting for me. I'd say, what kept you in there, our missy, now? And I'd say, help Mr. So-and-so to the churn. And she'd give me the pound of lovely country butter, maybe two. And the cans of buttermilk and the bits of butter going through it. Up. She'd drink it like cream. It was lovely. So they were the sort of things that I got up to. And then I was kind of spoiled by the granny and grandfather that used to travel the most. The other ones would say, my other old granny would say, she lived nearly 90. Her father lived till he was 100. Oh, Carly, yeah, 100 years of age. Smart man, yeah. And she said, certainly so, to me mother when she'd be talking to her. She called Mary Ann. And she'd have her woodbine. And she'd have the woodbine, that. But the other old granny said that I was there was all time, blah, blah, blah. She'd smoke a clay pipe, but she wouldn't smoke it in front of people. She'd still have the clay pipe and she'd smoke it. And but she'd go into the mill in Athlone. It was a mill, you know what a mill is?
Yeah.
And she'd buy a lovely rug. Either the blues or whatever, bluey fit to wear the rugs that time. Mm. And it'd be all material for skirts, plaid skirts. They'd be the black material for the black aprons, we used to call them, with the big pockets in them, get them made. So she'd go into there and she'd buy it. She'd have the few babies in, more so than the other poor old granny, but anyway.
She was your rich granny, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was, you know what I mean. And then there was a place out on Roscommon side, which was called, you ever heard of the Fighting Hills?
No.
Well, the travellers probably put on was the Fighting Hills. And there was two sisters. And they were they lived in a little, right in a little kind of a mountainy road. I have a picture, I bought a picture that reminds me of it, a big picture of it. And this little thatched house was in at the, you go in the Borheim, we say into these, this little mountainy road. And you see the other few houses, and we wouldn't bother them. Beyond into the two Donoghue girls, Mary Ann and Maggie, because they were dressmakers. And they'd have the sewing machine in the sitting room and a clear floor in the house. No pure clear floor, no tiles, no nothing. Years and years ago. I'm going back now when I was 7 or 8 years old and 10 years old, because we used to go every so often. And she'd bring the stuff in swap, what they'd wear. Flowery dresses, high-heeled shoes, and all those sort of these just short jackets, because we would, you know, the travellers didn't wear them that time, the dress in their own way, plaid skin. Now Miss Donoghue, I got a bit of plaid in that lawn, and I want you to make me a couple of skirts out of it, or maybe 3 or 4. This would be my granny's, this is my aunt now, my aunt. She died there a few months back. The only aunt was my aunt, my mommy, my mommy's side. And they say, all right, Winnie, all right. And I say, when you're finished with the rest of the stuff that's left over, make me my gym frocks. They were little dresses, and we used to call them gym frocks. So I'd get 2 or 3 gym frocks and that. And then my mommy'd sort out the other ones and give them to the children out of the bag. It was a coarse bag for holding your clothes. And she said, here now, ye share them out among ye, because our missus is getting more, and whatever. But them two sisters, and they had a cat, and I was afraid of the cat. And I often thought, you know, and I often do think about, I can picture it, although I was only very young, you know, the way they used to be able to sew, and to go on this journey. And my father, what he do, he'd have a roundabout top wagon, and when he'd know he'd be going that way of a country, he'd leave that in the house, maybe a house around County Longford. There was one in particular, Scully's, and he used to put in the big high hay shed because he wouldn't leave it to be racked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, protect.
And then he'd bring a pony and car, and he'd bring the green cover for the tent, big green cover, and maybe 2 tents for us, and we'd venture around that country. And he'd heat tinsmith, he'd do the work, and we'd get all that done. And then near the end of the year, then you start drawing back in to your own camps locally. We call them local now, but we wouldn't then. We used to say, we'd go back in around near the town. We'd go back in near, and then to pick out the camps for the Christmas. They'd know the camp to go for the Christmas. And there was one camp in the County Longford, and it was called Fahey's Shop. And Fahey's Shop was at a crossroads. Did you ever see a crossroads going that way? Going this way? And it's in the camp. And it sold groceries, it sold drink, it was a pub in it, and all your bits and bobs that you'd want to get like that. We'd always stop. But we'd say, my brother, rest in peace. He was the eldest, and I was next to him. And he'd say, and Paddy Lear, he said, we're going to Fahey's Shop, and we'll hear the banshee out in the field again. And we'd hear the banshee out in the field. Oh, we would, definitely. And they'd go down, and we'd get the pot of jam. We loved the pot of jam for Christmas. And my mommy would always go in and she'd bring back a red candle.
For Christmas.
And so you had the holly growing around you. And you'd have the paper decorations. And then we used to make the flowers ourselves. The flowers, all different colours. The flower paper that time was lovely. And my aunt, her aunt was telling me, she used to get me the gym frocks made. It was her. She said to me, come on up here, missy. And the farmer's gate is inside, and there's wire falling off it to make the flowers for the stem.
Oh, right. Right.
And I go, all right, Aunt Minnie, will I get you some? And we'll go out. And they'd be even that colour blue. You know, the royal blue flower. Mm. When she could make them, believe me, and that. And then she sold that, they sold them before the Christmas. And that's where you get your few bob from and things like that. I remember all that. All that now.
I do. Lovely memories.
And whatever. And then, and it keep me so long, I have to back up. confirmation time and First Communion time. Now, they were...
special.
Yeah. My father always make sure and that. And then I got a dress, the loan of a dress off the nuns. And I think myself, there could be 100 children made First Communion. I had the little white canvas shoes. But I had to give back the dress, of course. But then I didn't mind. And I had Well, I thought there was no one like me.
And there was no one like you.
There wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And the same thing with my confirmation. Now, my mother, what to do that time when they'd hear about confirmation or things going on? They'd choir off the priest. And this priest was in a country, little country village. I went back, they brought me back once since they came home. And God be with her. And the priest, my mother wanted my brother, because he was 2 years older than me, wanted him to make his confirmation. And he said to him, will you say the Our Father for me? This is up on the back of a pony and car now. And the priest came out of the house. And say the Our Father for me, he said. So my brother broke down and he's bitten it. He didn't know the exact now the way. Can I say it, Father? I was, honest to God. Go ahead, he said. Say it. I summed Our Father after him. He said, how old is she? There's 2 years, my mummy said, the difference of them. Bring her, he says, as well, he said, for confirmation. And the schoolmaster in the evening time used to give us an hour to learn a bit of catechism and that. And I made my confirmation, and so did Johnny. Johnny was another farmer, but was a very wealthy man that knew me father. Mr. Fallon, the Lord of Mercy, dead and gone now. He used to have even race horses. Mickey said, let your girl, he says, I want to stand for her. And he says, I'm calling her Bernadette. And he gave me a big silver half crown. I never forget it. And I could go on telling you for life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The things and how simple them things come. But I went back to that church since and we took a couple of four of me outside it. But I'm taking too long now, I suppose. Within the Cunningham's shop, in the same place, beside the church. Oh, well done, sis. Now, the dress was made in the cottage. The dress I wore for my confirmation.
I bought a
dress. The woman out of the cottage, she said, I'll make you a little dress, she said, she had a machine. And made me a peaky cap. Oh, I was proud again. Now, when I went into that shop, the girl behind the counter knew me father, of course. Well, oh, come in, she says, till I see you, till I give you what you want for your confirmation. She said, what would you like? What do you think I done? The weasel must be there, or the old fashioned, I don't know what was, but say, I want food for me brothers and sisters. She got a cardboard box. She put the bread into it, she put the butter into it, she put tea and sugar into it. And she said, what about yourself? Well, say, Miss So-and-so, you can put me in a packet of biscuits. Well, I'll put you in more than one, she said. She gave me 3 or 4. And my daddy was... The shop was up steps. It was, again, a big, rich shop. And I went into it and full up put the last time I went down. I told the people that in there. Says, I met me for confirmation, I said, in the church out there. Many years ago. I told them, they dared me. What is there in your prayer? And I said, my father was Mick O'Leary. And I said, 2 or 3 of them in. You're not talking about Mick that used to come and do the work for us. So yeah, he died a young man, I said, 58 years of age. My dad died at 58. But them people couldn't get over it. They couldn't get over it. Now, after all them years, and there's still roots kept there from my father.
That's
lovely. Yeah. So I got all that. But I always put my brothers and sisters in front of myself, even. It'd be our this one, our that one. And that. And I've done that.
It's your nature.
Yeah.
It is.
Do you know how you can go through life? And I've things to reward me, like in doing things for my granny and my grandfathers and whatever, like that. And man, but I had a great father. My mother was great on that, but my father could cop on like that. He was a great man. Honest to God, he was a great man. He could do anything. He was a lovely decorator and everything. So, the children, I won't keep now. When the children be born, my mother come home. And there be a good bit to be done and whatever and that. But we get through it. As I said, there was no fancy tin. And then there was one of my brothers who used to cry a good bit. And some woman told her to get a bottle of griping water, which was good. So my mother got the griping water and she used to give me he had a little
hernia.
And he used to cry. Poor Jimmy, yeah. So I hope I have filled in little bits and pieces.
Lovely.
That's great story. As I said, you only can go through life and you go one way or the other in it. And things happen today, but anyway.
Thank you.